Your government finally retaliated by destroying the Grays' underground base and laboratory after they continued to demand more supplies, laboratory space, and subjects. Until then, no one was willing to take a leadership role within this top-secret project. It is understandable that your government did not take a stand sooner when it felt technologically overpowered by the Grays. Those in control have no way of knowing how little power the Grays have. The stand the government should take now is not against the Grays but for honest disclosure of what has been going on over the past 40 years. Disclosure of the government's dealings with the Grays would do two things: elicit the positive extraterrestrials' aid and allow your government to learn about the whole extraterrestrial situation. The government's understanding of the situation is based mostly on its interaction with the Grays. However, the Grays are only a small part of the picture. If people decided to investigate this openly and objectively, much more would come to light, especially with the positive extraterrestrials' help. Your government is learning an important lesson about service to the people and about secrecy. For the government to carry on in such secrecy shows a lack of trust in democratic principles and a disrespect for democratic values. It contends that a few people know what is best for society. This is not true in matters of security any more than in other matters. Self-servers within government have used the excuse of national security to manipulate your institutions for their own benefit. Much too much of your government operates secretly. This must end if you are to be a truly free and democratic society. The people must adjust the laws to protect themselves from self-servers in government. The enemy is among you. Of course, this has always been true. There have been self-servers within even the noblest of organizations. Since they are so all-pervasive, all servers should be aware of the signs of service to self. The first sign is a preoccupation with power, which usually translates into a push for a hierarchical structure. Sometimes hierarchy is necessary, but hierarchies only work when headed by servers. Keeping self-servers from attaining the top positions in an organization requires strong, aggressive servers. Unfortunately, self-servers are usually more motivated than servers to capture positions that mean increased power and money. As a result, corruption is nearly always the companion of hierarchical structures. Another sign of service to self is secrecy. Once a hierarchical structure is in place, self-servers create other ways to distance the top positions of the hierarchy from the rest. This is usually done through closed meetings, secret assignments, and secret agents. Secret agents are needed to carry out secret assignments and to infiltrate the lower ranks to make sure their cover is working. This enables them to make suggestions about how to maintain the desired illusion. As insidious as this sounds, this is common practice among governments. People even condone their government's covert activities. If self-servers had their way, no one would even know secret agents existed. Not only governments operate this way these days, even large corporations have their secret plans and sleuths. Another sign of service to self is deception. Whatever plan they have always includes deception. This is because self-servers are working against the values of society and they know it. They know that if people knew what they were doing, they would be stopped. Self-servers are arch-criminals. They will break any law to accomplish their ends. They do this not only because laws get in their way, but because they believe in following their own law, which reads, "If you can do it, then you should." UFO groups already know what we have revealed about the Grays. They need encouragement to pursue their investigations and to continue to pressure the government for disclosure, which is one of our purposes in writing this. It is time for the public to know what the government knows, and the sooner the better. The Grays won't stop what they are doing until they are exposed. Furthermore, they won't take aggressive action against you for exposing them. That is not how they operate. Besides, they know they cannot control you with weapons alone. If, at the very least, your government disclosed the evidence concerning extraterrestrial spacecraft, it would be in a much better position. Government secrecy and deception fall right into the Grays' hands. The Grays' game will be over when the secrecy is. Your government doesn't trust this or it would have disclosed what it knows sooner. Those in a position to reveal the secrets are frightened and choosing to pass the responsibility on to someone else rather than risk retaliation from the Greys. Fortunately, several groups are trying to get the government to open its files and make the evidence concerning UFOs and extraterrestrials public. Self-servers like the Greys control others by fear and by breaking them down mentally and emotionally. They understand that a permanent conquest cannot be accomplished with weapons alone. They understand that true subjugation occurs only when subjects submit psychologically and emotionally to their oppressors. Therefore, they consider themselves victorious only after they have subjugated people spiritually. That is their real goal. When they have succeeded in creating victims, then they know they have won. Subjugation through technology alone would be a temporary victory and an ineffective means to the Greys' ends. It creates heroes and martyrs, which is not what the Greys want. Self-servers want victims, that is, people who believe they are powerless against their oppressors in every way. Technological warfare only proves technological superiority, not spiritual superiority. Self-servers want to win others over to their path. They are crusaders who are not satisfied with bodies, only with souls. The Greys are not ready for an open confrontation. Their weapon is not ready yet, the ingredient that will keep people in a constant state of fear. That is how they plan to overtake you. This is probably the only thing that would work on a planet like yours, which is not inclined toward victimization and which has your degree of intellectual development. You have had enough practice with your own self-service to be wise to their tactics, so you are not as vulnerable as you may think. Because of this, the Greys have had to come up with this way to control you. And it is an excellent idea, one that could work. The only flaw in their plan is the lack of time. They will not have time to develop this weapon before they are exposed and conquered themselves. The Greys cannot imagine this occurring. They don't see failure as a possibility. In part, this is because they feel invincible and underestimate the positive's power, but also because they don't understand your culture. They don't realize you have an excellent capacity for worldwide cooperation and communication. They don't believe your nations can cooperate because they haven't seen it. However, if your planet was known to be under extraterrestrial threat, the Greys would find out just how well you can cooperate. This is another reason secrecy is working for the Greys. If the Greys' activities were exposed, your planet would have a reason to unite. Under these circumstances, even warring nations would cooperate. The Greys' projects will be cut short just in time because they will be exposed before they can complete them. After the Greys have been exposed, the positives will see to it they leave your planet, but not before offering the Greys whatever help they can. Nevertheless, it will be too late to save their race. Had the Greys allowed the positives to help them earlier, they might have had a chance to save themselves. No one is opposed to the Greys borrowing your genetics to save their race or to their survival. So had they agreed to certain conditions for being here and to leaving after they had received what they came for, they would have been welcomed and helped. No one is surprised, however, that they refused those conditions and the aid. The Greys are working at cross purposes to the Confederation. The Confederation, a group of servers that govern the evolution of planets like yours in this sector of the universe, has set up guidelines to ease the transition of your planet from third to fourth density. It allows only certain activities and prohibits others seen as detrimental. The Greys have been allowed to carry on, even though their intentions are to undermine this transition because the Confederation sees some advantage in their playing a part in the drama unfolding now on your planet. It sees no harm in the Greys playing the villain for the time being. The Greys are adding another dimension to this time in history and bringing certain lessons to bear. We have already mentioned some of these lessons. The inappropriateness of secrecy in a democratic system, how deception can be as effective as actual weapons, how service to self operates, and the destructiveness of nuclear weapons. The Greys' biggest contribution, however, will be helping you come together as one people. The Confederation is allowing the Greys to play the role of Earth's enemy as a means for uniting your planet. Global unity is a major feature of the Golden Age ahead, And this is one way of provoking this. A common enemy has served this purpose, time and time again, for other civilizations at a similar point in their evolution. The Greys can play this role without being the victor. The positives won't let them be the victor, but they will let them play this role. After your experience with the Greys, you will see your world differently. Just as the pictures of Earth brought back by the astronauts changed how you saw Earth, so will this experience change you. After this, your eyes will be opened to a new view of the universe. You will have lost your virginity and entered into the age of interplanetary existence. Part 2 Preparing for Contact. Part 2 is about how your society and how humanity as a whole might be affected when you are at last approached openly by extraterrestrials. It will provide some guidelines for discriminating and for understanding alien intelligences. What are you to believe? What can you trust? How do you protect yourselves and your interests? How might you be benefited by such a meeting? How might you be harmed? Such a meeting will raise many questions and shake up every institution and belief system on the planet. You need to be prepared for this meeting so that you can respond with clear thinking but, more importantly, with a clear heart. Your minds will not serve you as well as your hearts, that is, your intuition and feelings in determining your responses and best courses of action. You will be dealing with highly intelligent but not necessarily spiritually advanced beings. Furthermore, even spiritually advanced beings may not have a thorough enough understanding of you as a species to guide or lead or even help you. You will have to proceed carefully in your interactions with extraterrestrials and not take anything at face value. You will have to feel your way through your interactions with them to determine for yourselves what is right or wrong for you, and what is truth or fiction. We not only hope to save humanity from some difficult lessons by raising these questions, we hope to help you know yourselves as interplanetary beings. It is time for you to move your sights beyond your planet and begin to see yourselves as belonging not only to Earth but to a larger universe, or at least to the nearest segment of that universe. You are going to meet your neighbors soon, some of whom you will like better than others. Your cooperation and tolerance will be stretched by this, more so than ever before. So while you are undergoing a shift in consciousness, which will be most intense in the first decades of the 21st century, you will also be introduced to alien humanoids. All this happening in the midst of massive global changes will, indeed, transform the world you live in. It will be transformed, however, primarily because the events in the world and the reunion with your galactic family will jar you into changing how you organize your world and how you think. The shift in consciousness will be part of this change and essential to it by supporting new choices and helping you navigate these times successfully. But the physical changes and events of these years will also be crucial in motivating you to recreate your world's structures and institutions. Without an obvious and pressing need for change, you might simply enjoy this rise in consciousness and continue to live as you always have. But because the situation in which you find yourselves is critical, you will choose to make drastic changes, which without the accompanying change of consciousness might be impossible. So if you find yourself cursing the natural disasters and other difficulties of these times, please remember that they are part of the process that will bring humanity to a new era and a new world. Many of the old structures must completely disappear before the new can arise. You know how this works in your own lives. Periodically, many of you undergo radical changes and recreate your lives anew. This is what the Earth is going through now. And by necessity, certain structures, attitudes, behaviors, and beliefs must pass away. Chapter 7, Servers and Self-Servers in the World Today. Both the servers and the self-servers involved with you, incarnate and otherwise, are part of your galactic family. The self-servers are vying with the servers for control of your planet, although the servers don't see it this way. The servers are here to serve you and help you integrate the polarities on your planet. They don't wish to eliminate the extraterrestrial self-servers or the ones incarnate on Earth. They understand that Earth is serving as a place where the polarities are to be integrated. Your galactic family has tried to integrate the positive and negative polarities in many other locations in your quadrant of the universe, but to no avail. On some planets the negative pole has prevailed, while on others the positive pole has prevailed. But none have achieved a balanced integration of the positive and the negative. This is possible and it is being attempted on Earth now. Earth may or may not succeed. We believe it will. If it doesn't, it is still unlikely to become a service to self-planet. Because of the server's commitment to integration rather than dominance of one or the other pole, they have been allowing the self-service to operate freely on Earth. For the same reason, they will also not allow the self-service to overrun Earth. For those wondering why the servers are allowing the self-service to harm people and stir up trouble, this is your answer. The self-server's activities are part of your growth and, specifically, your evolution toward integration. As you know, growth in a world of polarities is often painful. This pain can be minimized by a philosophy that reframes the painful experience, one that brings understanding to it. Pain also can often be avoided through intelligent action and informed choices. So although your growth toward integration necessitates some pain, it need not cause great suffering. Suffering occurs when understanding is absent. We hope to provide some of the understanding you will need. Many others will also be working to alleviate your suffering. But some, including incarnate self-servers, will be striving to create more. Self-servers enjoy creating suffering because it is evidence of their victory, their superiority. They are not ashamed of this, it is their nature to create suffering. This doesn't excuse them. The point is that individuals like this exist, and servers must realize this. Self-servers think and feel differently than servers. This will be all the more apparent as the polarization on Earth increases. This intensification of the battle between good and evil, if you will, is being caused not so much by unevolved incarnate self-servers but by evolved ones. They are the ones who will really baffle you. You are already aware of some of them. Saddam Hussein is the most prominent one today, but others will come into power. Some of the incarnate servers' biggest mistakes may come from assuming that self-servers think like they do. Servers give others the benefit of the doubt and second chances. This plays right into the self-servers' hands. They are thrilled that you are so naive and easily manipulated. Servers err on the side of acceptance, and that slack is what self-servers use to hang them. We don't mean to sound negative, but this happens repeatedly in your world, and only by becoming aware of this will you learn to handle the self-servers. In dealing with them, you must be firm and unwavering. You must assume the worst motives and intentions, and stand up to them with every bit as much commitment to good as they have to evil. The belief that turning the other cheek is the way to combat evil has allowed evil to grow. Evil doesn't stop when you turn the other cheek, it strikes you on the turned cheek or finds someone else to bully. You know this, which is why you have built up such great arsenals and why you have needed them, or at least needed the enemy to believe you have them. In saying this, we are not insinuating that the Soviet Union was the evil empire. Self-servers as well as servers exist in every country and government. But you in the United States understood the necessity of protecting your sovereignty from those who would take it away from you. This build-up of arms has been necessary, but it has harmed your natural resources and depleted your economy. The irony is that one nuclear bomb would have been enough. Once you developed nuclear weapons, the build-up of arms became a farce. Now you are concerned about nuclear weapons falling into the hands of people like Saddam Hussein. More nuclear bombs is not the answer. What is the answer, then? The answer is you must outsmart the self-servers at their own game. You must find ways to anticipate their maneuvers and frustrate them. To do this, you must understand how their minds work. To self-servers, life is a game of power. They care about nothing more. They don't care who is harmed in their struggle for power because power is always worth it to them. They don't care how long it takes to get power either because they have no other motivation for living. They are ruthless and relentless. They are like bulldozers, bulldozing their way through life toward their goal of power. They don't have moral precepts that define or limit their striving for power. Any morals to which they do give lip service, usually to manipulate others, can always be bent to serve their god, power. When power is everything, then power is one's moral code. They don't see what they do as immoral. They see it as honoring what they believe in, power. Fighting for what they value is as moral to them as fighting for what you value is to you. Power is their entire reason for being, just as love is for others. Self-servers have values just as servers do, but they are opposite ones. Servers think of self-servers as being able to do what they do because they rationalize, but self-servers don't need to rationalize. They have their own rationale for living, and it doesn't include the same moral standards as for servers. Servers call some self-servers sociopaths, but this term applies more to unevolved self-servers, particularly ones who have been psychologically damaged in previous lives and who are still damaged. Sociopaths are a less clever variety of self-server than the self-servers like Saddam Hussein, to whom we are referring. Evolved self-servers are far more dangerous because their ambitions know no bounds and often include power over entire populations or areas of the globe. Evolved self-servers have evolved on service to self-planets and have intelligence, talents, and often psychic abilities to use to achieve their ends. We have said that a build-up of arms was necessary and that it has led to the possibility of nuclear weapons falling into the hands of self-servers. The situation in which you find yourselves was predictable and inevitable, and one in which many other worlds before you have found themselves. This situation has intensified the polarization. The weapons you have developed allow you to play out the battle between good and evil on a very large and destructive scale. This would not be so complicated if there were distinct sides. But the servers and self-servers are distributed across the globe. The self-servers are stirring up trouble wherever they are. The situation is not as simple as the good countries versus the bad countries, although during the Cold War you acted this way. War, corruption, greed, violence, and horror are all over the world. The enemy is among you, and how do you protect yourselves against that? Your arsenal of weapons is virtually useless when the enemy is both within your country and scattered throughout the countries of your allies. Much of the confusion in the world is created by just that. Your enemies are no longer clear-cut. It was simple when you could focus on the Soviet Union and communism as the fiend, but such simplistic definitions no longer hold. The situation is further complicated by trade alliances and business interests in countries formerly considered unfriendly. One thing certain is that it is not business as usual. There is nothing usual about these times. The situation calls for a new vision, a vision of yourselves as a global society. Only then will you be able to deal with the undermining influences of the self-servers. By unifying and organizing the world governments, you have a chance to balance, not eliminate, the evil in the world if the world government you found and its leaders are committed to service and humane values. Right now, the self-servers are having a field day because you are not taking a proactive stance toward them. You are letting them define what is happening in the world. You are responding to them instead of demanding they comply to your standards. This is what must change. The servers must be the ones defining history. They must be the ones in charge, the ones in power. We will give you an example. When Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait in August of 1990, the United Nations mobilized to deal with him. In doing this, the United Nations became empowered, after having been a fairly ineffectual organization. However, had the United Nations been strong and had the powers in the world been less reliant on oil, a product controlled by and benefiting certain self-servers, the Gulf War might have been avoided. The lack of global organization and the infiltration of self-servers into the governments of various nations have diffused the servers' power. Servers have either not sought positions of power or not taken charge when in power as the self-servers have, but that is partly the fault of the nature of servers. Self-servers are drawn to positions that will give them power. That is why you need an organization like the United Nations that is based on service, not power, and on consensus or democracy, not hierarchy. the servers must organize to prevent the self-servers from taking control. The United Nations interventions in Kuwait and in Somalia are examples of the kind of interventions such an organization based on service might make. Once the world sees that such an organization is really the for the good of the whole, its power will grow. The battle between the servers and self-servers is a battle of values. The United Nations asserts humane values and human rights. The self-servers would have an organization based on different values. Their organization would look more like an army. It would be a hierarchy, and it would operate through fear, oppression, and violence. If self-servers were not continually vying for power among themselves, such a military machine probably would already exist. The servers are at a real advantage in being able to cooperate, which is one reason their values have predominated. Servers are also more plentiful on the planet than self-servers. So servers are at an advantage and will continue to be. Still, they must actively confront the deteriorating world situation and take steps to remedy it. If they would unite against all who try to oppress and control others, the self-servers would have difficulty implementing their plans. Because this kind of world unity is now critical to the servers' goals, self-servers are trying to undermine the move toward a world government by saying this is part of the Antichrist's plan. What better way to stop the servers than to link the Antichrist, and all this has come to mean, to the positive and natural course for the world today? The last thing self-servers want is world unity around democratic and humane values. They are well aware of the potential for good this holds. They know that world unification is key to creating a new world order in the most positive sense. They are using fear in the form of stories about the Antichrist to slow progress toward world unity. Many servers have bought their message of fear and are being manipulated by this to undermine the creation of a better world. The self-servers have been very busy spreading fearful stories about what is to come. They want people to believe that the dark forces are very powerful and that the Earth is on an inevitable course of destruction. If people believe this, they are likely to either withdraw from the world, seek satisfaction in pleasures, or preach about the end of the world, but they are unlikely to take constructive action for change. That is what the self-servers want. They don't want you to transform yourselves or the planet, they want you to believe that it is too late for that. Beware of anyone with a message like that. And beware of anyone whose message evokes fear, hopelessness, and despair. These are the weapons of self-servers. The self-servers have constructed a story of conspiracy that has been spread and repeated so many times that it has taken on a life of its own. The story claims that a few bankers and industrialists have been controlling world affairs covertly for generations. What better way to lead people to believe that their lives are not their own nor their governments responsive to them? What better way to breed fear, hopelessness, and distrust of government? By undermining the people's trust in government, the hope is that people will disengage themselves from politics and their responsibilities as citizens. This would leave government to the self-servers in power. They would like nothing more than to be left alone to play their power games. Fortunately, as apparent from the 1992 presidential election campaign, most people are not apathetic, and grassroots movements are more alive than ever. Fortunately, the conspiracy theory has only taken root in a minority of minds. Much of the information about conspiracy has come from channels and psychics who have served as vehicles for the self-servers without realizing it. The same story is being repeated to various channels and psychics, so it appears to have some credibility. After all, the more something is repeated, the more believable it becomes. So a story that started out as unbelievable has become believable to many, even some very discriminating people. One reason even some highly educated people have become convinced of a conspiracy and other falsehoods is that self-servers have other ways, besides through channels and psychics, to persuade people of these ideas. Ideas can be implanted through dreams and intuition, and memories can even be created. These are some of the activities in which non-physical self-servers are engaged, while many incarnate self-servers as well as servers are being used as vehicles for these ideas. discerning truth from fiction is difficult with the intellect alone. Besides, self-servers are very clever, they can easily outsmart people intellectually. To discern truth from fiction, intuition is needed. Discernment will become much easier in the future when the vibration of the planet has increased.